No, and I wanted to talk this morning. I still have it. It's logged into my iPad. Is last week's message. We're going to switch again to this week's message for what God wants to bring and do for us. I think it's a gauge of our spiritual walk. You know, I've been talking about for about a month now, walking in the Spirit, and how that walk is a walk in humility, a walk by faith, a walk in holiness. You know, this message that was next was a walk in an eternal walk, and a walk in eternity, and how that looks. And it's such a dynamic concept in my heart and mind. The stuff that I feel like the Lord is showing me in my spirit, I'm having a really difficult time to bring it out into the words that are transferable to understanding in my own mind, if that makes any sense. And so it's going to take another week to get there. So this week is about Thanksgiving. And so I wanted just to look at where we're at in being thankful. So I'm going to talk about what that is and what that looks like. I hope we're prepared for this. It's pretty fantastic, because when I look at thankfulness and look at thankfulness in my own self and in our own walk, as I'm looking at this, it actually, the thankfulness of my heart actually reveals the health of my soul and the direction of my walk. I don't know if I can really relate to how dynamic that is, other than just to really say it like that, is how thankful I am, it actually reveals the health of my very spirit and even the direction of my walk. But the Apostle Paul describes our being filled with the Spirit, that he doesn't put it in this grandiose package of experience of miraculous spiritual gifts. You know, even though that's a part of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, God is going to do miraculous things in and through us. I believe that. We believe that. We are charismatic. In other words, we believe in the move of the Spirit to move us to the miraculous. Hello? Right. We pray for healing. We pray for a moving. We pray for God to intervene. Like, you know, I love the best definition of that I've ever heard, or I don't know, I read it, heard it somewhere, is the miraculous is where God intervenes into the natural flow. It's almost like he reaches his hand into gravity and stops gravity in its place. And God is capable of doing that, right? Gosh, we pray for that supernatural intervention in our lives on a regular basis. Not only do we pray for it, we depend on it. We need it. We need God's supernatural intervention. Hello? Amen. So that's a part of, I believe, and that's don't get me wrong in this message today, because I'm not talking about that. But I believe that in that so heavily, so much so that I cry out for God's supernatural intervention in my life and in your lives and in our church life, in our family lives, in our community's lives. Hello? Amen. So thank you that as I present this message, even though it's not about that, know that that's like something that is a part of every ounce of my being and my walk with God, and it ought to be ours too. Do you believe in the supernatural? Amen. All right, well, the rest of us will get there, maybe. I believe that thankfulness is a direct result of walking in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. He starts this out by being, he says, do not be drunk with wine, but he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another. Listen to this. So this is what a result of being filled with the Spirit is going to look like. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I believe is looking, a result, a fruit of being filled with the Spirit is a thankful heart. And where we sing to each other. How about that? Sing to each other. Spiritual songs. Right, boys? Where'd they go? Oh, where's Trevor? Oh, man, he seems to always get away and get into the teaching class. The boys, I love having the boys in our home because I get to out them almost every Sunday. they're going to write a song of thanks. And they said, do we have to sing it? What do you think? Yeah. You hear that, boys? Sorry, guys, you got to sing it. Maybe rap it. I don't know. Try it. I'll let you put it into a rap. No, it's going to be on Thanksgiving. They've got a few days to work on it. When Paul describes what our being governed by peace and the word of Christ looks like in our lives, he doesn't point to an absence of conflict. And you guys know this. I've talked about this a lot. Or even our level of theological understanding. What he points to this very thing in Colossians chapter 3, 15 and 16. Listen to this. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I love that phrase right off the bat. It's when that word let, you know, I don't know if we really grasp it. It's such a small word, but it really is give allowance to, give permission to, accept it, receive it into your entire being. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Again, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. For some reason, there's a theme here. A theme of song that brings about thankfulness. Or breaking out in song is like a result of a thankful heart. Have you ever experienced that? You know, have you ever been taken up into this place of your heart being overwhelmed with gratitude and you just can't help but break out into a song that's inside your heart? And it may be something that you, on the radio, it may be something that you've learned in our worship time here. It may be a song entirely written by the Spirit of God in your heart that He compels you to just bubble over with thankfulness. That's a natural and normal response to an overwhelming peace of God that takes over. It's not the avoidance or the removal of cruddy circumstances. Hello? Because then we would never have peace, right? Our world is full of turmoil and chaos and crud. All you got to do, if you want to find it, you don't have to look far. Just open your eyes and it's there. But the peace of God that we allow ruling in our hearts, let it flow. Let it go. I think it requires us to actually participate, align ourselves with that which God has given to us. So knowing and receiving and understanding God's goodness, knowing that all things are for good, only compels us to do one thing, but be thankful for all things. Hello? Another point here says, when Paul describes what our living in the will of God looks like, he doesn't point to how well our roles in life match up with our strengths and our aspirations. You guys hear what I'm saying? In other words, sometimes we think, I got to know what God's will is, so I got to find out what I'm really good at. Sometimes that's not entirely just the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances for what? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you know that? Wherever God has placed you right now is the will of God in your life for Him to be in. Be thankful in it and where God has you, and you'll see that that's where God has placed you. And this realm of opportunity will open up for you to be busy in doing what God has you to do. In other words, let me say it another way. Stop trying to find that thing that's out there that's abstract or out there that's unreachable to say, well, that's when I find that, then I'll know that I'm in God's will. Whether it be a job or a wife or a husband or a family or something that you think is going to be what God wants you to do or a ministry, just be thankful with where God has you right now. Hello? anybody else on board with this? I need us to be on board. I feel like this is something that if we're looking for something that is not what we're supposed to be doing, we'll be missing what God actually has us to be doing right now. Right? This next point is pretty fantastic. Listen to this. When Paul describes what our freedom from sin, sexual sin, defiling sin looks like, he doesn't point to an absence of temptation. He doesn't point to that. Or even this superpower ability to not look or to not say no. That's not what he points to. Instead, he points to thankfulness. There's a theme here, isn't there? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. It says, sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness. Which you guys know what covetousness is, right? The boys ask me these questions. So as they ask me these questions, I realize that maybe not everybody knows what it means. Covetousness is where you're overtaken. You're compelled to want something that doesn't belong to you but belongs to somebody else. And it could be a thing, it could be a person, it could be a job, it could be a career, it could be a blessing, but you feel like, I need that, I want that, I deserve that, that should be mine. And you want it, and you're missing all that God has already provided and blessed you with. The verse, Ephesians chapter 5, 3 and 4, it says, sexual immorality and all impurity and all covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Amen? He's basically saying this, and this is, I'll say it the way I hear him saying this, is you and I do not have the ability on our own to try to not sin. The only thing that you can do to avoid sin taking over your system to where that's a part of your life is to fill that place with the good and the right that God has intended to exist inside of you. Thankfulness is what is supposed to be there. Do you realize that? I believe it with all my heart that the original design, the original makeup, the original breath of God into Adam was that place of that relationship with God as God creator, man as creation, thankful to God for creating his creation. That's what we're designed to be and do. Hello? And when we don't do that, when we start complaining and grumbling and wanting things and not being thankful, we're outside of that which we're created and designed to be and do. So thankfulness is to place and to be in place of anything that is not desirable by God for us. Gosh, that was a lot of words, but basically, be thankful, and that will solve the problems. I know it seems so simple, but is it really that simple? Well, let's just break it down. Let's just get to the nitty-gritty of it. If I'm thankful for the job that I have, will I be appreciative to God in a place to where I'm not looking for something else? And not only that, will I even tithe graciously and even with cheerfulness on the job that I have because I'm thankful to God for the job that I have? It will be easy for me to tithe, to give back to God because I'm thankful for the job that I have. Hello? If I'm thankful for the wife that God has given me, will my eyes wander to one another and therefore fall into adultery sin? Hello? No, right? It's really that simple. Just be thankful. The issues of wanting something that doesn't belong in my life will, for the most part, be solved. Gosh, I'm ready to go home. No, there's more. So what we want to do is give a couple tricks of how to cultivate that. So I think there's something we should do right off the bat. Check our level of gratitude. Do you want to do that this morning? check where your level of gratitude is. If you really want your gratitude, you want to know where your gratitude gauge is at, simply ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's in your heart, and He will do this. He will do this. If you're willing to really know where your gratitude gauge is at, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's in your heart, and you know how He's going to do it. Are you ready? He will open your ears to what comes out of your mouth. Hello? He will allow you to hear what comes out of your mouth. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you got to really want to know what that gauge is at. You got to know where, because if you don't want to know where you're at in your gratitude gauge, you'll continue to speak things of ingratitude and unthankfulness and complaining and whining and grumbling, fault finding, and you won't hear it because you don't want to hear it. So we've got to simply ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's in our heart. I don't know about the rest of you, but this is something that God did in me this last couple of weeks. Is at every moment that I was compelled to complain about the smoke in the air, I was instantly checked by the Holy Spirit to stop and say, "Thank you, Lord, that I do have a home that I can go home to and breathe clean air. Thank you, Lord, that we haven't been swallowed up and consumed by the fires." It's compelled me to instantly be thankful. At every time, every single time, I went to go complain about how horrible it was, I was stopped instantly. But you got to allow the Holy Spirit to stop you. Because I could easily have just ignored the Holy Spirit and said, "Ah, blah, 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 blah." And that would have, you know, it's not that the Holy Spirit wouldn't have stopped trying to get my attention, but I would have stopped listening. So that's just one incident, one way. But I believe that God does that. The Holy Spirit is very involved in what comes out of our mouth. The next step to it is where we have compassion for those that have lost everything. And that ought to move us that direction. It ought to. So check the gratitude level in your heart. Ask God to do it. And I think that there's so much more to it, because it is a walk in the Spirit. It's more than just, well, just to be thankful so that I can be thankful. It does bring about health in your spirit and your soul. And it brings that health about, but it also does something else. It brings about a protective cover from God over you. Not only does it give us health and it gives us a purposeful walk, but gratitude is very powerful in protection. When we experience that we have received an undeserved gift from God, it's like God's grace. And God's grace is His covering protection over us. It's a fruit of humility. It's inherently unselfish, right? Thankfulness is unselfish. Honest, genuine gratitude is unselfish. You know, we don't feel gratitude towards ourselves when we're getting what we want, but we feel gratitude when somebody gives us something that we don't deserve. Hello? Right? And it does another thing. It actually knocks the knees out of pride in your life, being thankful. It does. And it's awesome, because when we think about it as being a protective covering, walking in thankfulness, we know that pride goes before a fall. So if we're not walking in thankfulness and being thankful in all things, you know, the opposite of that is where we think that we deserve. We think, you know, that one of the worst things you can say as a Christian is, "Well, I deserve better than this." Because that is something that comes, if it comes out of your mouth, then that's in your heart, and it's an attitude of ingratitude, to where you're thinking that you are worth more, or you deserve something more or better than what God has actually given you. And it's a pride. It's a pride that goes before what? A fall. And we don't want that. Pride always, listen, so let's do this. Pride always looks more powerful than humility on the outside. But in reality, it's not. It's not even close. Humility always has the power to annihilate pride. Did you know that? Oh, so much, even this, listen to this. The spirit, he said, remember why I talked about this? We've been talking about it for a few weeks now. The spirit and the flesh are at war with each other. All the time. The spirit has the power over the flesh all the time. Your flesh is not more powerful than the spirit inside of you. Hello? You align and cooperate with the spirit of God and walk in the spirit, it has the power to compel you and drive you right where God wants you. And that's good news. Hello? That's really good news. Pride always looks more powerful than humility on the outside, but it's not. Not even close. Just as the flesh seems more powerful than the spirit, but it's not. Humility is always stronger than pride, just like heaven is stronger than hell, just like the cross was stronger than the Roman Empire. Hallelujah. Just like the resurrection and the life was stronger than the grave. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. That's awesome. Thankfulness is stronger than selfishness. And that's the truth. When we choose to be thankful, selfishness starts to dissipate. Just yesterday, I was bumped into Kevin. So he's not dead. I thought the same thing. I know, and I bumped into him, and I said, oh my goodness, Kevin, I'm so happy to see you. Let me share this with you. And you guys know that we love Kevin. When I say we, I mean we all do. He was so downtrodden with just life. He said, I just want to give up. How do I keep going? I said, Kevin, I wish I had like a pill that you could take. He said, no. Then he started busting out in a song. Said, I don't want to be like Huey Lewis and want a new drug. I don't want a new drug. It's like, I know that. Said, I wish there was an easy answer other than just simply this. Be thankful with where God has you and start learning and start looking for opportunities to actually help others. Said, Kevin, I know you feel like and you seem like you are in a place of helplessness, but I'm going to tell you the powerful truth that you are not. You are not. You are somebody that can help somebody. Said you believed a lie that you are yourself beyond help, so therefore beyond the ability to help. Said that is a lie. Said if you could just simply help somebody genuinely today, I guarantee it will instill a hope within you and a spirit inside of you that will give you enough drive to make it another day. And of course we both Blake and I both helped him and enough money to be able to get some food. But I think that truth is something that we all need to hear. Just because Kevin, there's the obvious appearance that he's down and out and desperate. And we look and we say, yeah, it's so obvious. But I think so many of us are in that same place at least once or 10 times a week. If you know, and the reason I hesitate and forgive me if I make, you know, I don't even like to use the word them because it's not a them and an us, because I think that us are just as screwed up as them. And we need Jesus just as much as anybody. And the truth and the truth of learning that one, and it's not a trick, and it's not a it's not something that we like, oh, if I just do this, everything's gonna turn around. I believe what we need to do, and this is what I believe, the more thankfulness that becomes present in our lives, the less vulnerable we are to depression and sin, addictions, anything in our lives that just overtakes us. That's why the Bible talks so much about it, is to live that direction, to go that way, to walk in thankfulness, to be thankful for all things at all times in Christ. Thankful people have their eyes, we have our eyes set on God, recognizing to some degree that it's grace, it's God's grace that causes us and compels us and strengthens us, trusting Him to cover not only all of our sin, but to work all things out for good. Work all things out. And then we look to Him. We look to Him not only for today, but for to eternity, which that's what I'm going to talk about next week. And that's, you know, this, I'm looking forward to bringing the message next week, because it's exciting for me to just really bring this. It's different. So let's look at this. Let's finish this up and say, you know, cultivating thankfulness. I think that's the word that we need to look at. Cultivating thankfulness. In other words, we gotta get in there and dig it up. You gotta get busy at doing it. Should be one of our core strategies in helping each other walk in the Spirit. Cultivating thankfulness is something we do together as a strategy to help each other walk in the Spirit. Hello? Encouraging each other to be thankful. Have you noticed how difficult that is? When somebody comes at you and they start grumbling and complaining, isn't it the biggest challenge is to like turn that around and say, well, let's be thankful in this. Right? Anybody else? It's a difficult thing. But if we do that, we encourage each other to be thankful in it. Not out of our guilty obligation or, you know, this like, oh, trying to be a spiritually self-righteous, complaining again, are you? No, let's encourage each other to be thankful in all things, right? And here's what I've discovered. There's no thankfulness hack. There isn't. There's no hack for it. No four steps to it. We have to develop gratitude as habit building. You have to develop it. The challenge is a challenge. It's not an easy thing to do. That's why I feel like we need, I don't feel like it, I know that we need the Holy Spirit's direction and help in helping people and even encouraging each other to be thankful. Nobody likes a self-righteous, you know, what do you call it? What would we call them? We don't like the self-righteous thankful police. You know, as soon as I start having a bad day and complaining about it, maybe I need it. Maybe I need somebody to just say, you need to just buck up, buddy, and thank God for it. And I'm like, maybe I do need that. I don't know. If the Holy Spirit knows I need it, then my wife will say that. So yes. Which she has at one time or another. And I needed it at that time or another, which I'm thankful for. Hallelujah. Amen. Dude, you guys, I got to tell you, one time, can I say this? I could say it. I got a few minutes. One time, I'm serious. This happened. I'm actually embarrassed and ashamed to say it. Not ashamed because I have no shame, I'm confessing. I came home one day, this was a few years back, so frustrated, so irritated, so ungrateful and unthankful for where God had placed me and what all, and actually I was so irritated with how much God was just getting piled on me. And I remember I literally came home. I swear this happened to you guys. So I mean it. And I got on the floor and just like screamed and kicked and was kicking my legs and pounding my head like, stop, I can't handle anymore. And my wife looked at me and was like, get up, you spoiled little brat. And I stopped and I'm like, oh gosh, that was embarrassing. You do it once a week? Okay. So, I thought. So. Okay, yeah. So, oh, you've done that too? I literally did that. And I just felt like I was just undone at the end of myself and I couldn't handle anymore. And that's exactly where God needed me to be. Because as soon as I think that I can handle this, I got this. Give me all you got, devil. I can handle more. Yeah, he says, God just laughs at me. He said, really? Let me just, doink, and see how you crumble like a little baby, dude.
Like that one block.
Yeah. I believe thankfulness is developed. It's habit building. We have to build it as a habit. We begin to train our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to look for God's grace in every circumstance. And that's a good place to be. I don't know how many of you all encourage me on a regular basis. I look around the room and I just like, you really encourage me because the eyes of your heart see God's grace in anything and everything. And when you speak that into openness, when you speak that into my life, and you may not think that it has an impact because you think, oh, well, you got it all handled. It's like, no, I just shared with you. I don't have it all handled. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. And when we speak God's grace into life, into circumstances that are difficult, that are trying, that are hard, and even the good things, please allow God to bless each and every one of us. And be happy for people when God blesses somebody. Be good with that. That is also a heart of thankfulness. This looking to see God's grace in it must become habitual. In other words, you have to develop it. You have to do it over and over again. You have to constantly work at it. You know, habits are built by doing them every day. Over and over again, we get better at them. And you know, that's what, when you have a good habit, you get better at it because you do it all the time, right? And where you do it every day and it turns into doing it on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, and pretty soon that becomes who you are. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort to just be thankful. Thankfulness is one of the most powerful affections that God has instilled within us. Yes, God has instilled it within us, an affection to be thankful. And it is an affection. And it's an awesome affection that God has given us the capacity to experience. Why would I want to stop that? A thankful heart is a happy heart, a healthy heart, an effective, productive heart. Why would I want to stop that? Do I want to look at all the crap? I don't, but I do, so I have to keep building this. I have to keep saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Amen. I'm going to warn you, though, one last warning, and then we're going to worship the Lord. You will become disgustingly irritating to the grumblers and the fault finders of the world. That's okay. Say thank you because it's pleasing to God. And that's a good word. A thankful heart is pleasing to God. Doesn't get much better than that. Amen? Let's pray and worship the Lord one more time. And if you have a prayer need, even a confession. If you want to confess about your squealing around on the floor like a baby, that's okay. Father God, we just thank you. Can't say it enough. Just thank you. I'm even hesitant to say thank you for the home that you've given us to live in. Because even in that, Lord, we know that even that song that we just sang, you give and take away. And if you took it away, I'd still say thank you. So we just thank you, God, for you. That your love, is what reaches into the depths of my heart. meets me right where I'm at. Even in the places of ingratitude and selfishness, and you take those places and you replace it with grace and mercy and goodness and kindness and gratitude. So I'm so thankful that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is good enough. Your grace covers it all and replaces ingratitude with thankfulness. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the resurrection and the life. And that there is nothing that can stand between your love. Nothing that can hinder it. And we just align ourselves with it and say yes. Yes and amen. Thank you that you have placed us perfectly where you want us to be, light, to be salt, to be your hands, to be your love in others' lives. Thank you for the opportunities that you're giving us even this week to help. Thank you for the privilege and honor to do it in your name, Jesus. We thank you for your grace. Just can't stop saying thank you. So thank you, Jesus. And we worship you. Thank you.